Margaret Rosgo, welcome. Thanks for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Javaris Bradford, thank you.
Happy to be here.
Margaret, or Peggy, you're an educator, an author, a longtime NAACP Youth Council member. You were married to Father Gropey. Do you consider yourself an activist?
Oh, definitely.
All right, good. Bravo. And Javaris, you're a student, a senior.
Senior.
At NOVA.
Mm-hmm.
What does NOVA stand for? Is it an acronym?
Yes, it is an acronym. Northwest Opportunities Vocational Academy.
Northwest Opportunities
Vocational Academy. Yeah, we actually relocated. We were on 37 in Lancaster 4 years ago, actually. It's been a long time. I've been there since 7th grade. I'm a senior this year, but when I was in 7th grade, it was on 37 in Lancaster in my 8th grade year, 2008-2009 school years when we relocated to 24th in Burleigh.
But you're moving on.
Yes, to college, yes.
To college, good for you. You're here representing what's called this Milwaukee Civil Rights Tour, a tour that's been coordinated by Arts at Large with UWM students, UWM Milwaukee students, and other people. Can you tell me a little bit about what this tour will teach people and how to participate?
Okay, well, firstly, it teaches kind of like the unspoken of history of our own state or the county of Milwaukee. We did
as
have,
far as the civil rights movement, yeah, that
yeah.
part, right?
We did
because
yeah,
it's not a lot of people understand that Milwaukee played a fairly prominent part in the civil rights movement in the 60s and the 50s, all the way back to the 50s, right?
Mm-hmm. It was only about a year ago when I became familiar with the whole civil rights movement of Milwaukee. It was untaught, it was unheard of, and you know, I kind of felt bad because you know. A lot of things should start at home. And so Father Gropey, your husband, he stood in place. He fought for the African-American community to have fair housing, which wasn't the African-American community was kind of, they were kind of quarantined, for lack of a better term, in a certain area of Milwaukee where they could, there was only one place where they could live. And if they tried to go apply to live somewhere else in Milwaukee, they would get turned down saying that, you know, there was nothing available.
Is that the area town that used to be known as Brownsville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a group of people just kind of came together, and what this is going to feature, the tour is going to feature is some of the different areas of Milwaukee that were focal points in the civil rights movement.
Right. So. Is the history of the civil rights movement in Milwaukee a violent history?
Well, to help you out with that, Milwaukee is referred to as the Selma of the North, so that can give you a fair description of how violent it probably got, you know, and just from what I've heard of. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, one thing about using the word violent, though, is when a lot of people hear violence, they think, oh, that was the African Americans being violent. And actually, the period of intense civil rights activity of the middle 60s with the Fair Housing Campaign was 1967 and 1968. When people talk about 1967, they talk about, you'll hear people say, oh, that's the riots. Well, there was a disturbance on 3rd Street, which some people say that wasn't a riot. I'm willing to acknowledge that it was a riot. But there were two riots on the south side when the marchers marched across what was then the 16th Street Viaduct.
Right.
And those were white people rioting, white people out of control. So it's really important to me to make that distinction. Don't associate the word violent with African Americans. That reinforces a stereotype, and it's untrue.
Right. Good. That's why I brought it up, because I'm aware of that. And it is important that people understand that, because the violence, whatever violence there may have been, even in the black community, a very strong case can be made that it's precipitated by another kind of, maybe not a brick-throwing violence, but an emotional, psychological violence that's been done, well, for many centuries. So back to the civil rights. So there's a long history of civil rights movement in Milwaukee, and when you talked about the isolation of the African-American community, it seems to me that even today, where we tend to think that everything's fine, we have a black president, that supposedly makes it all fine, but it certainly doesn't make it fine. It's certainly not in this city anyway.
Well, I'm sure you know that Milwaukee is one of the most segregated cities in the United States of America. And
considered, in several studies.
And so while we have come very far because we do have fair housing now, there are some things that we still need to work on. Education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for one, we need to have this message to be taught to kids in school. We need to learn about this. This is something we should know about. Because as I was explaining earlier to Ms. Rosner, this is one of those things that was kind of unheard of, like that I just didn't learn about. And like, in my opinion, you have to know where you come from in order to know where you're going.
Where you're going, exactly.
And I think that it helps to get perspective because you know exactly what your future needs to look like. If you have a better idea of how things used to be, you have an idea of how things should be and where the direction that they're headed. And so education is one of the problems that we need to work on in the state of Wisconsin.
Right, right. Now,
I definitely think that's true. And I think in terms of history, we get our sense of what's possible from what we know about history. If it was done before, something like it was done before, it can be done again. And Milwaukee actually has a beautiful history of young people standing up for justice, being involved, being concerned about their city. And so young people today who feel that there are things wrong in society, that the educational system needs to be changed, need to know that, that there were people who stood up, young people who stood up before, and that empowers them.
Mm-hmm.
That said, oh, they did it in 1967, we can do it today.
There's generations standing behind them.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
This is what we need. We need to see, the youth of Milwaukee need to see that we have leaders. You know, people that came from the same places that we came from, and more importantly, that look like us. Since that all that does is it gives more of a sense of reassurance or relation to. It's like, well, this person looks a little more like me. Maybe I can believe in myself a little bit more now. Mm-hmm. Is what it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting the need for a leader, because wasn't there a fellow here, McGee? Who am I thinking
Michael
of?
McGee.
Michael McGee. Yeah. Who was a fairly influential leader in the African American community, got a little bit of a difficult reputation in the white community, but we always seem to be looking for a strong leader, another Martin Luther King, another Malcolm, but that guy might be sitting right next to you. It takes the support of the community. It takes everybody working together, and that you manufacture a leader.
Well, the way the civil rights movement has been taught is that there were a few superstars. There was Martin Luther King, there was Rosa Parks, and the Pamela Sargents, the Shirley Butlers, mm-hmm. the Miss Bridges,
yeah.
the ordinary people who made up the bulk of those marches aren't named, aren't remembered. And if you see the civil rights movement as only being a couple of superstars, then that doesn't say anything about what you can do. But if you exactly. see that it was... Well, at the time of the start of the open housing marches, it was mostly elementary school students from St. Boniface
right.
Who were members of the NAACP Youth Council. So you're talking about 12, 13-year-old, 14-year-old students who led this movement.
They were the first ones yes. out on the street.
Yes,
right.
And if 14-year-old Pamela Sargent did this, if 16-year-old Shirley Butler did this, well,
yeah.
then...
it's quite possible. And kind of to go back to your point about looking for like the next Dr. Martin Luther King, just taking a look at that though, the things that Dr. Martin Luther King, that he fought for, you know, we kind of have to like supersede that. We're at a different place
mm-hmm.
and we are striving to do more, to do the things that we're truly capable of. But the bottom line is we have to do more. We have to achieve greater if we want a better outcome. We're
right.
not fighting to drink from the same water bubblers, and I'm not trying to put that out and say that it doesn't have significance or anything like that, but the bottom is it's different. We're fighting for different things now, so we need someone to supersede Dr. Martin Luther King. He was great for his time, but
somebody needs to take the next step.
Yeah.
Now, let's clarify what this tour, when this tour is and how it functions. Anybody can participate? Anybody in the city of Milwaukee?
You mean like to be a part of the tour, or
to learn some of this history?
Oh,
take it. You're going to be one of the guides on it, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I plan to be a tour guide. My school, right? Well, my class, like I said, we're one of the focal points of the actual tour. We're developing the research. We plan to have, like I said, the virtual tour. We want to develop the actual exhibit so people can come and look at it, and then we want to actually give a tour of the sites that had significance for the Milwaukee Civil Rights Project.
So you'll actually be taking people, walking them around from site to site.
Well, they're spread out, so
yeah,
we're trying to get some cardio in too. If that's the plan.
And once you get out of the car, you'll be walking. So we can call it a walking tour from the car to the okay.
Yeah. So I think the plan was to try to get some sort of transportation, just because they're so far away. But so, like a bus or something like that,
cool.
Just to group people up and take them from landmark to landmark, and then.
Well, when's this going to take place?
It's all in the workings. We're looking for the date where it's supposed to be.
There,
put together is like April, around April.
In April and spring.
Yeah. There is an exhibit portion of the project that will coincide with gallery night in April. It'll be at the Arts at Large Gallery.
Arts at Large Gallery.
And I think
on
that
Fifth
is April.
Yes,
exactly. Yep. And that's April 20th.
Okay, that's April 20th.
And then the tour will follow from there.
Great. Yeah. It sounds like a wonderful project and obviously a very necessary one. That's all the time we have right now, but I want to thank you again for coming and talking to me. I think we got some good points across.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.